Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, we're wrapping up our message series, You Do You, Because Everyone Else is Taken, which has been helping us explore about the ways in which God wants us to be the person God wants us to be and not someone else. The first week, we took a look at what it means for us to be people who use our gifts and abilities that God has given to us to be the people God wants us to be and to not let them be used on the side. Last week, we took a look at what it means for us to value what matters most in life, and as Jesus puts it, to store up our treasures in heaven and not here on earth. And today we're going to take a look at the ways in which there are so many powerful influences in our life and how some of them are positive and some of them are negative and how we have to deal with them in our lives as well. Well, people are very powerful influences in our life. And you may know that and you may have experienced that, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can actually talk to Dr. Rick and see what he has to say about this. I have to confess, the storage joke and the koi joke may have been things that I am guilty of. But whether it's funny, like, you know, turning into our parents, the reality is that we all are influenced by people in our lives and other things as well. And these influences are both helpful and unhelpful. They are faithful and unfaithful, and they are good and bad. But also, we might think of them as being both positive and negative influences in our lives. Now, there's lots of positive influences in our lives, and these can be parents, these can be teachers, mentors, coaches, those kinds of people in our lives. Some of us are lucky enough to have a supervisor who is a positive influence, and we want those to shape our lives, to help us become the people that God wants us to be. But the reality is there's also negative influences in our life that help us to not be the people that God wants us to be and to pull us further away from that goal in our lives. And when we let those negative influences overpower us, we can really find ourselves in a tough place. Now, the fact of the matter is, these negative influences have been a part of our lives for a very long time. And in fact, also, it's one of the things that we know the people of Israel struggled with as well in their lives. And in particular, they had a season where they were over-influenced by some things that weren't helpful, and it led to some serious problems in their life. Now, the particular time that I'm thinking about when they went through this challenge was during the season when Samuel was the prophet and the leader of Israel. This was at the very end of the time when they were going from the 12 tribes of Israel as kind of this loose confederation to the monarchy beginning. And in particular, they were looking at the problem that they had before them, which was Samuel, who was their leader, a prophet and a judge, was kind of getting old. So as a leader for Israel, as a prophet and a prophet meaning the one who speaks for God and helps the people know what to do, not one who predicts the future, that's not a biblical prophet in the least, and a judge, this is a series of leaders from before they were the kingdom of Israel that were on their way. Samuel was the leader that was very popular and very faithful. But the problem was no one lasts forever, and in particular, he was getting old, and the people actually told him at one point, Samuel, you're getting old, and we want to know who's going to take over for you. Now, Samuel did have two sons, and normally this would be a very good thing because they would be able to have the sons take over. Succession and nepotism all in one, right? Of course, but that's how things were done back in the ancient day. And his two sons' names were Joel and Abijah. But the problem was they were not following in Samuel's ways. In fact, actually, they're described as people who were prone to taking bribes and looking to make a profit, and also were people that were perverting justice. Not exactly the bio that you want going down for you throughout thousands of years of history. So the people understood that they did not want the sons of Samuel to take over. And so they decided that they were going to have a new solution to their leadership. And what they did is they looked around them and they noticed that the nations around them had kings. And so they went to Samuel and said, "Samuel, we want you to pick a king for us." Now, this was sort of a normal request on the one hand, but the reality is the king that was supposed to lead them was God. God was specifically the king of Israel and the way that they wanted to be led, and God used people to lead them through this kind of way that God would be with them. But they said, "We want something else." And at first Samuel says, "No, you don't want a king because kings are not good for you." And the people replied to them and said, "No, we want a king because that's what the other people have." And so Samuel, being upset by this, has a conversation with God, and God tells Samuel that they are going to get a king. God reminds Samuel that it's not a slam against Samuel here that's the problem. Rather, it's a dig against God in their lives because they have rejected God as their king. So God says to Samuel, "Give them a king." God seems to do this because God really does preserve our freedom and lets us have what we want at times. But God also reminds Samuel of what kind of a damage a king would bring about in the life of Israel. And so Samuel then delivers the news to the people. He says, "Well, we're going to give you a king, but let me remind you what a king does so you can be sure if you want one." And here's what a king does, Samuel says. "Kings, take your sons to be in their army. Kings, take your crops to feed the army. Kings, take your wood to build the weapons. King, take your daughters to be bakers, cooks, and perfumers. They take your land for the people in their court. They take your slaves, your cattle, your donkeys, and your sheep," which is taking all your money and all the things you have to trade, all your wealth. "And then last but not least, kings make you his slaves." Now, if you're Samuel, you have to be saying to yourself, like, there is no way that they're going to go for this after all these things that kings do, because it sounds awful. But Samuel was disappointed because the people insisted. And they said to him, "No, we are determined to have a king over us so that we might be like other nations and that our king may govern over us and out before us and fight our battles." And so Samuel gives in and he says, "You're going to have a king." Now, what would follow? In the earliest days of the first king, there was some good things. But the fact of the matter is, everything that Samuel said would happen because of a king also happened with the first king and the next king and all the kings to follow. Because human beings, especially kings, especially leaders that are beyond reproach, typically do all these kinds of things that harm people. And with this way of change in the life of Israel, that's what would happen next in their lives. They would go through all the challenges that come from having a king. Now, we have to be honest and reflect about the situation that they were in. They had a real concern that they were trying to address, but the fact of the matter is, they looked at the other people around them and they said, "We want to be like them, so give us a king." And they were over-influenced by the people around them, and it led to a really harsh journey that they went through many, many struggles because of. Now, it wasn't so much because of the solution, because of a king, but it was because of the negative influence that would go on and happen around them. And this story just seems to me to illustrate so deeply the power of influences in our lives. In particular, this one illustrates for us the dangers of the negative influences around us and how they can be destructive in our lives, but it shows us just how powerful these influences can be. Now, when we think about being the people that God wants us to be, we have all these influences in our lives, and we want to make sure that the negative influences don't over-influence us, and the positive influences are the ones that help us. Now, when it comes to thinking about how the negative influences need to be left out of our lives and what those influences are, I think those negative influences are the kinds of things that we know it when we see it, and we really know what we need to do to keep them out. Do we always do that to keep them out? No. So we got to keep on trying our best to keep them out. but seeing how the impact of negative things are on our lives, that's the easier part. But there's a reality that there's positive influences or influences that we're not sure what kind they are, and we need to be more careful, I think, as we look at how we allow those to shape us, how we let the positive influences shape us in our lives. And one of the ways that we can look to this is to understand that there are positive influences that are helpful, that are faithful, and that are good, and we want them to shape them. But the problem is, we have to let them shape us into the person that God wants us to be, and not perhaps the person that is the inspiration, the person that is the influence. So often we get caught up and we might find ourselves drifting towards allowing ourselves to be trying to become the person that's an influence and not the person that we're supposed to be. And I got to tell you, I struggle with this just as much as probably anybody else does. So one of the ways that we can see these positive influences as being helpful is if they're inspirational, if they help us to pursue more and more of who God wants us to be. Now, if someone is a positive influence in our life, it's best for us to be inspired by them to be the best version of you, not an imitation version of them. When we allow them to be an inspiration to us to see what it means to pursue good things in our lives, that's helpful. That helps us see perhaps what God wants for us. There's a lot to learn from a lot of people. But if we seek to be an imitation version of them, then we're going to come up short on being the person that God wants us to be. Now, we have to be careful here because we can fall prey to the trap of imitation in our lives so easily. I do this too. And the fact of the matter is that we have to watch out for this in our lives. Because imitation might be the sincerest form of flattery, but flattery gets you nowhere. And we want to get somewhere, which is to be the person that God wants us to be. Now, there's another thing that we can think about when we talk about how do we make sure that people in particular or things or ideas are positive influences in our lives and not negative ones, is we can make sure that we avoid putting a person on a pedestal. Now, this is very difficult and very challenging because we like to do this as human beings. We like to put leaders on pedestals. Sometimes we even put pastors on pedestals. I wouldn't recommend that, by the way. But when we avoid putting a person on a pedestal, we can avoid having a situation where even a positive influence isn't helpful for us. And the reason is there is only one thing, only one person that belongs on a pedestal in our lives, and that's God. God is the only one who belongs in a place of worship, the place of honor, and a place of respect. And if we substitute anything else for that, we can find ourselves drifting away from being who God wants us to be, because it puts us in a place where we don't want to go, because we start to worship, we start to trust these things that don't belong there in our lives. But it's not just the fact that we put it on a pedestal. It's the fact that when we put something on a pedestal, we have it take the place of God in our lives. And we start to trust it like we should trust God. We start to believe that it will tell us what our purpose is in life. And that's not what we want. We want God to show us that. And worst of all, sometimes we'll think that our salvation can come from these things as well. So avoiding putting people on a pedestal can help us make sure that positive influences are indeed good for us and not harmful for us. The fact of life is that we are influenced by so many things, and we have to be careful because we want the positive things to help us, but we got to make sure that the negative things don't hurt us. God wants the positive influences in our lives to be helpful, to be faithful, to be practical. But God doesn't want them to take the place of God in our life either. God doesn't want the negative ones to hurt us or to harm us or to hold us back. So God wants us to make sure we keep those at bay. And God wants us to make sure that all the influences in our lives are driving us towards what God wants for us, which is for us to be the people that God wants us to be. God wants us to really embrace who God wants us to be in all that we do. Because God really does say to each one of us, you do you, because everyone else is taken. So let's make sure the influences in our lives help us be the person God wants us to be.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.